Good morning, once again, now that I am all put together. So, anyone here like clothes? Yeah? Anyone here? I'm the type of person where when I pick out a piece of clothing, I'm the type of person where I like to pick things that I feel express myself. I don't like to wear just, you know, plain whatever clothing. When I buy something, I put a lot of thought into it, usually. It's something where I've thought about it, I feel like it expresses myself in some way, and I just feel good in it. And it's something where when I wear something and I buy something, I put so much, I'm like, I get such an attachment to it that I will wear it into the dirt. Like, there's no such thing for me as, oh, here's the Goodwill bag. It's like, no. It's been a decade. It's the trash bag now because it's been so long. And so for me, an example of this is this vest, which I am sorry for all of the pieces of the vest that will be on the stage after this. I've had this vest since 10th grade. I've had it for a decade now. And this past fall, I pulled it out of my closet. And I was like, oof, I think it's finally time to send it out to pasture. Like, I think it's time to put it to rest. As you can see, it's made of pleather. It's falling apart. It was falling apart a couple years ago in the back, so I put some patches on it. And now the pleather around the patches is falling off. I have spent time combing out the fur on the collar, but I loved this vest. I had eyeballed it for months when my grandmother finally bought it for me for my birthday. And I wore it into the dirt. And throughout the years, I did my absolute best to try and make it last as long as possible. I sewed buttons back on, I would comb out the fur, and I would find ways where I could clean it without throwing it into the washer, because you can't, like, physically wash this, and I'm too cheap to bring it to a dry cleaner. And I worked really hard to try and keep it looking nice. And I tried stitching it back together over and over and over again. But eventually there came a point where I realized no amount of patches, no amount of sewing, no amount of whatever I could do to this thing was going to save it. And similar how I tried to fix this vest over the years and put it together and keep it together, I feel like there are ways where I do this to myself as well. I have tried to put Band-Aid solutions over problems that require surgery. I have lived out my faith in a way where I was stitching myself up, hoping I could make myself presentable enough for the Lord, hoping that putting a patch over the gaping wound in my soul would stop me from trying to treat it with sin. I tried living a transformed life without any transformation, really. I'd find myself in the middle ground where I was reaching out to God, wanting to live a Christ-like life that was holy and pleasing to Him, but also desperately holding on to who I once was. And how many of us feel like we've been there? Maybe we are there. We're holding on to who we were. And there could be a lot of reasons why we do that. But we hold on to who we were. Maybe we hold on to who we were because we're holding on to the mistakes we've made. We can't move past it. God, I've done too many horrible things. How can I present myself before you? Why would you want me? We're holding on to wrongs that were done against us. God, I'm too broken. I'm bad. I will always be the victim. But we're holding on to who we once were. And the reality is when we hold on to who we once were, and we hold on to the lies that are intertwined with that, of I will always be this way. There is no going back. There is no getting better. There is no the other side. I will just have this thing I will struggle with forever, and it will identify me forever. It's self-sabotage. And it reinforces that lie whenever we hold on to who we were and believe that there is no changing it. And so whatever it has that has defined us in the past, we allow it to continue to define us and we hold on to it. And then we're presented with the question, let me move this, of how can we live a life free of our past sins, mistakes, and hurts then? When we've gotten so used to trying to fix ourselves up, trying to make ourselves holy and presentable before the Lord, but we're holding on to who we once were. You're saying that there's a way to move past that. How do we do that? And so, Scripture says when we allow the old to be removed, we can then be clothed in the new. When we give our life to Christ, we become a new creation. God says to remove the old self so we can be clothed in the new self. As Christians, we not only accept the truth of who Jesus is, and we accept that he is our Savior, we invite him into our life, but we're also inviting the Holy Spirit into our life. We're opening ourselves up to being transformed. This imagery of removing the old self, like a tattered garment, to be clothed in a new self, which has been done by God, is an imagery that can be found all throughout Scripture. It's imagery that has spoken to me many times. And I was rather excited when John said, you could preach on whatever you want. And I was like, well, maybe Jesus will let me preach on this today. So we're going to specifically look at Colossians 3, 1 to 17. And don't worry, I will read it. So Colossians 3, 1 to 17. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual morality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Before I continue, please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who gives hope. So God, I just give this morning to you. May you speak. May it be all you, what you have to say to your people. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we try to stitch up who we are. And similar to my old vest, we can try to stitch up ourselves back up and try to fix ourselves and keep going. But it won't be long before we're unraveling at the seams. We're falling apart, and there's a new hole. Or maybe the hole you just stitched up is open again. We try to fix ourselves up, not realizing that this needs to go. And here we see God speaking on how we must allow who we once were to be removed, to let our old self die, and on the other side, let our old self die. And on the other side of this, when we lay our old self to rest, is freedom. Which brings me to my first point, which is freedom is found in complete surrender. This is one of those concepts that doesn't really make sense to society. It's like, I'm going to be free by giving myself fully, like to just completely surrender myself to a God. It's maybe a conversation you've had with you know, non-believers. It just doesn't make sense. I'm struggling with this, so I'm just going to give myself over to this God. That doesn't make sense to me. Wouldn't it be better off if I just did it myself? I think what we fail to realize is that the person who got us in this mess to begin with was ourselves. We find ourselves lost and stuck because we are not good masters of ourselves. And ultimately, we cannot save ourselves. In verse 5, it says, "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you." And if you keep going down the passage, it continues to say, on to say, starting at 7, "You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now it is time to get rid of your anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds." When we surrender who we are to God, we can be made new through Jesus, but our old self has to be stripped away. This is only done if you choose to allow it. God's not going to force himself on you. He's going to reach out to you and over and over and over again. I've heard it described as Jesus is a lover just waiting, sending you love letters all the time, whether it's through people, through verses, through different things. He's reaching out to you, but he's never going to force himself on you. In Ephesians 2:4, it says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us this life. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it because this is a gift from God." Sorry. It's only through God, guys. And we have to be able to go to God and accept that gift that he gives us. And when we accept that gift, we open ourselves up to real transformation when we continue to live with him. But it all starts with making that choice to go to Christ. An image that I love that C.S. Lewis wrote of this, of how we need God, of how God is integral to the old self being removed so then we can be made new through Christ, is in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, if you ever read that book. It's part of the Narnia series. And there is a little boy named Eustace. And in it, he steals a bracelet and he puts it on. And he's enjoying being, the bracelet turns him into a dragon. And so he's enjoying being a dragon for a while, because, like, who doesn't want to be a dragon? Like, that sounds kind of cool if you ask me. But he turns into a dragon. He's flying around, and he thinks it's cool. He's having a good time. He can breathe fire, do all that stuff. Like, doesn't have to pay for plane tickets. Dang, I wish I could do that. but he's enjoying being a dragon for a while, similar to how we have a season where sin's really fun. But then we start to experience the repercussions of the life that we're living. And he realizes, like, he can't sit on the boat that they're on because they're all traveling on a boat together. He's missing out on certain activities that the other people that he's traveling with are doing. And he realizes being a dragon actually isn't that fun. And there's a lot of stuff that comes with being a dragon that just kind of make it awful and not worth it. But he can't get the bracelet off. It's stuck. So he's, I'm stuck as a dragon. Leads to some issues. People get mad at him. And so he runs away. He wants to be alone. So he's alone. He's upset because he's stuck as a dragon. And then Aslan, who represents God, Jesus, appears before him. He's representative as a lion. And he comes to Eustace, and he's like, why are you crying, kid? He's like, I'm stuck as a dragon. I don't want to be a dragon anymore. He says, well, Aslan just looks at him and says, well, take off your skin, duh. So he starts to take off the skin. He takes off a layer, but he's still a dragon underneath. And once again, Aslan says, well, take off the skin, take it off. So he scratches at his arms once again, comes off, just another layer of skin, and he's still a dragon underneath. Aslan says one more time, well, just take it off. So he does it again, and he's like, it's not working. I've taken off 3 layers of skin, and I am still a dragon. Aslan says, let me do it. He takes his claws, and he sinks them into Eustace's skin, and he rips off the dragon. And there's a little boy underneath. And then he gives him a bath, which represents baptism. And it goes to show how we have to go to God and allow him to do this. It is only through Christ that we begin saved from our old self. It doesn't matter how many times we try to make good habits and good deeds, we will never be saved from who we are stuck as in this world if we don't go to Christ. So at some point, I'm sure we have all felt stuck, trapped. Maybe even you feel like Eustace, stuck in a skin that doesn't feel like it's your own. Your sin weighs you down. The pain of being hurt by other people makes you feel trapped and hopeless. And it doesn't matter how many times you try to fix yourself up. It doesn't matter how many times you try to stitch your broken self back together. But God is there saying, no, I don't want you wearing that tattered garment anymore. I don't want you wearing that old life. I want to give you something new, a new garment, a new life. A new life with freedom from who you once were. So when we allow God to remove our sin, remove our old self, we are free from this. We are free, and this freedom leads to real transformation. Complete surrender to Christ, the allowance to be transformed leads, allowance to be made new leads to real transformation. So if you keep looking down through through Colossians, it says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This isn't a one-and-done deal, guys. This goes beyond the initial moment of salvation when you give your life to Christ. This is a continuous life. This becomes a lifelong journey with God. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. This is about a relationship. So spending time daily with the Creator of the universe, with our Heavenly Father, so we can know him better. It's rather common knowledge that the type of people we spend our time with are the people we tend to become the most like. And for me, I experienced probably the most drastic change in my personality when I made some friends at college. So I went to NIAC for my last 3 years of college, and there I finally had like an actual group of friends that were Christians, because where I grew up, not a lot of people were Christians. There was like one other Christian in my school. I didn't know what it was like to have that community of people who are my age around me all the time. And I made these friends who, it just seemed like they knew how to just have fun and live life in the moment, but in a good way, not in the way that was considered fun back in my hometown, such as drugs and other things. And I found myself loosening up. I was a kid who was very stiff, is how I guess I would describe myself, especially as a teenager. I was the kid who always had extra responsibilities thrown upon me because I was very competent, and I was always seen as the mom friend. I was the friend who mommed my friends and looked at them and said, hey, that's a bad idea. Let's not do that. I was the one always Band-Aids in my pocket or snacks in my book bag or water to give people or remind people you should take care of yourself. But I'll never forget my friend Desiree who looked at me and said, Linnea, I'm not going to do that to you anymore. I'm not going to call you that. I just want to be your friend. And I don't want you to feel like you have to have all these extra responsibilities and perform for me. And so I learned how to just loosen up. But that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't around a group of people who did that, who were with me and was able to learn from them. And so we know that when we spend time with people, it's practically inevitable for us to find ourselves becoming more like them. And this is exactly what happens when we spend time with God. That's why Scripture says, as you learn to become, learn to know your Creator and become like Him. As we better know our Heavenly Father, we will find ourselves becoming more like Him. Just as Scripture says, as we spend more time having meaningful conversations in prayer, reading His Word so He can speak to us, as we genuinely live with other believers who are also on their own journeys become more like Christ, we find ourselves changing. As time passes, we find the things that once tempted us to be easier to say no to. The sins that once controlled our life doesn't have power over us. The allure is gone, and our heart aches for Christ instead. But this transformation begins with surrender, because complete surrender leads to real transformation. So as we become more like Christ and find victory over the things that once separated us from God, we begin to see the story that God is writing in our life. We begin to see that real transformation leads to a testimony. Real transformation leads to a testimony. In verse 16, it says, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. The transformative work God does in your life gives you a story to tell. It gives you a testimony to share of God's love and goodness. While the person who you once were is no more, you have been changed by a loving and patient God. You have a story of hope to share, one to share every time someone looks at you and asks, why are you part of this whole Jesus thing? You have a story to share, a story to tell, and God wants to use it. So we hold on to who we once were so we can live a life free of our past sins, mistakes, and hurts. We allow the old to be removed so we can be clothed in the new. And complete surrender leads to real transformation. Freedom is found in complete surrender, Complete surrender then leads to the transformation. And that transformation leads to your testimony. For anyone who knows me personally, they know my life has not always been easy. The life I lived, I had a lot of labels thrown on me. I grew up poor, grew up the child of a teen mom, and experienced abuse of different kinds at the hands of family members and people who should have been taking care of me. And a lot of labels get put on you throughout your life when you live that kind of life. And it comes from other people, but it's also labels that you start to put on yourself. You start to see the circumstances of your life, and you're like, this is it. This is what I'm always going to be. I'm always going to be the victim. I'm always going to be the person who has been hurt and can't trust. I've now picked up bad coping mechanisms to try and find some sort of relief and escape from the hell that feels like my life is. And now I have shame, because I know I'm running to everything but God when I need to run to God in this moment because of my life. And so this is where Scripture is so important, because that's how God speaks to us. and how we could have something to anchor us. So for me, my life verse is Psalm, at this point, life passage, not verse, excuse me, is Psalm 30. It came to me when I was 16, and I love that passage. And I didn't put it together until I was putting the sermon together of how the Lord has always been speaking to me through this imagery of taking off who you once were and who you're ashamed of, and I'm going to make you new. And in verse 11, it says, "You remove my sackcloth to clothe me with joy." And if you don't know what a sackcloth is, when the Israelites, when the Jews, when they would sin against God, they would be very dramatic, which I vibe with real good. and they were so torn up about the fact that they have, you know, sinned against God, and so they would go well above and beyond to show their remorse and, you know, desire to ask God for forgiveness, and they would rip their clothes, and then they would put on a sackcloth, so think of a potato sack that they just throw on, put some arms through. They're throwing dirt on their head. And God says, "When you're mine, I remove that sackcloth and I clothe you with joy. Because even when life is hard, I have given you a spirit of joy. I have covered you in joy, covered you in hope for something more." And that's why our testimony is so important, guys. That's why when we experience all of these things, when we go through all these moments with God, when we experience the personal story God is weaving in our own life, it's important that we share that. So, as I close today, maybe you feel like you're stuck in it. Maybe you feel like you're the one who you're struggling with a sin. Or maybe there was a family member who said something horrible to you and you've lived out that label. Maybe you've screwed up in some way, you've made a mistake, you've failed, and now you are angry at yourself and you've put on labels and feel stuck. I want you to know, first of all, that you are loved by a God who is eagerly waiting for you to come to him. And the wonderful thing about having something like this right here, this community, is if you need it today, if you need someone to talk to you, to listen, someone to pray for you, I encourage you to take the risk to go ask someone. And if you don't know who to ask, pray for the Lord to show you. Because I know I've been there where I didn't know who to ask. And I prayed, and the Lord showed me. And then for those that have a story of God's goodness, of how he has radically changed you, our calling after we have been saved and we've experienced all of the goodness of God is to share that, because we should be excited to share that with the world. We should be excited to share that with people who have no hope, because we know exactly where they've been, and we know what's on the other side of Christ. And we should want that for everyone. So for those of you that have a story of God's goodness, of how he has radically changed you, the miracles he has worked in your life, I want to encourage you, don't be afraid. A couple years ago, there was a saying floating around that someone's freedom may be on the other side of the testimony you're too scared to tell. And it's not because we can save people, but it's because God wants to use you in the story that he's made in your life so that it can impact other people, so that someone who's going through the same thing that you went through and you have the story of victory on the other side, that they can know there's hope and there's a God that they can go to. So don't be afraid to go and get the help you need from the community God has placed you in, to ask for prayer, and to know that God is waiting for you to come to him when you feel stuck. And lastly, don't be afraid to tell your story. don't be afraid to share it. You join me in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that you give us, that on the other side of our sin, of the mess that we have put ourselves in, that we have found ourselves in, that other people have put us in, God, that there's hope on the other side. And we're not to live a life of shame and of self-hatred and of hopelessness, but Lord, that you want to remove that and you want to clothe us in joy. So I pray that we would hear that truth today. That would be something that we can hold on to when we feel like we're about to fall apart at the seams. When life is coming back to rear its ugly head and come at us, Lord, that we have a God that we can go to. So I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.